Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shir for Women, Shir number 54. We're going to talk today about beginner's mind, about no matter how old you are and how much you're used to carrying on a particular pattern, you could always renew yourself. You see, it does say in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chaf Hei, that when a child learns, it's like writing on a clean slate, and when an older person learns, it's like writing on a smudged surface, which basically tells us that when you're a child and new information enters your mind, you absorb it better. You know, that's natural, and there's a lot of truth to that. And the capacity of our mind, though, is vast. It's not infinite, but it's vast. And the more we clutter our minds with extra material that is not necessary, the harder it will be to retain the things that are important. And the idea is, though, is when it says young and old, it's not a matter of youth versus old age. It's our ability to learn. And our ability to learn is not affected by time. As we grow older, we have an ability to retain knowledge a little less than the day before because we have more extraneous stuff in our mind. But the idea being, though, is in every stage of life, and as you get older, you have the ability to reconstruct things in your mind, to remove and put in the wayside the things that are not important, and to develop a fresh, new attitude and outlook towards learning new wisdom and becoming a better person. And that is the idea, to have that beginner's mind no matter how old you are. Then it becomes like a clean slate, even though you're older, and you're able to become a new and refreshed and feel young. There are people that are in their 80s and their 90s, and they are refreshed and they're invigorated because they may not have the same physical capacity as they had when they, as of 20 years before or 60 years before, and even mentally, it takes, you need more breaks, you need more rest. But that renewal attitude, that hischatshus of trying to make each day special and each day new and every thought of Torah exciting will keep you young no matter how old you are and no matter what stage of life you are at. Now, talking about life and the secret to long life, Rav Nachman talks about it. And he says that in order to ensure we have a long life, the first thing we need to do is to become aware of each day, each hour, and even each moment. When you're aware of the amount of time we are given, you grab that time and you pack it with as much holiness and goodness as possible. If you're awake 18 hours of the day, you use every moment to do good deeds. You could give tzedakah, you could pray, you could help someone out. You can learn a little lesson from a tzaddik, from a sefer. You make a bracha when you're eating. Little by little, you'll find making more and more good choices like these in the life that you're living. And it'll become a habit. And you'll pack your moments with spiritually uplifting thoughts and speech and deeds. It's mentioned, Revitzin Youngreis wrote this after her husband passed away. He had a lot of papers and she came across one of his notes, and he died relatively young. And he wrote as follows. He may have written this when he was ill, I'm not sure, but he wrote, "A long life is not good enough, but a good life is long enough." Now, halavai, we should all live long lives physically and good lives in that long lives. We should all have arichas yomim in quantity and in quality. Of course, we daven for that. We bless each other for that. But someone who was not zeichet to that and lived a shorter life in time span, but filled that life full of goodness, they accomplished tremendous. And it'll get easier over time. Eventually, you'll find yourself living each day a more longer day in a good way, a richer day, a fuller day. That's the secret of having arichas yomim. When every day is filled with more holiness, more goodness, then the day before then you have arichas yamim. Those long days are long life. And may Hashem help that each and every one of you have arichas yamim, both in the quantity sense of having a long life of many, many years, physical years in time, but also that all those years should be full days packed with holiness, packed with goodness. And don't regret, well, maybe not the word regret, but don't resign yourself from the fact that you look back and you see a lot of wasted years, because even those are transformed through tshuva, through utilizing the lessons thereof, then your whole life becomes meaningful. So it's never a time to feel bad about what was done in the past or wasted opportunities in the past. But from here on, seize every moment in the best possible way. May Hashem help that you all achieve this wonderful bracha. Pertaining to tznius is in this book, Reclaiming Dignity, which we're trying to go and bring the main points over here from the various articles that they have here. They have one on the clothing. And it's fascinating because clothing often is a focal point of tznius, unfortunately, to the exclusion of everything else, which created a very superficial understanding in regard to modesty. So here, what she tries to do, someone, Dina Rabinowitz, is to put the clothing concept in perspective. That clothing doesn't define tznius, but you imbue it with tznius. So she explains some beautiful concepts about clothing that will help give a healthy perspective. I have a feeling many don't even talk about this part of it. But what happens is when a king elevates a servant, he gets a new set of clothing. Pare gave Yosef, when he was appointed as a leader over Mitzrayim, clothing of fine linen. You see, Mordechai was dressed in Bigdei Malchus. You see, when Shmuel and Shaul, when Shaul's kingdom was going to be removed, the cloak was torn. It's not clear in the pasuk whether Shmuel tore Shaul's cloak or Shaul tore Shmuel's cloak, but either way, it was symbolic that Hashem tore the malchus from Shaul and was giving it to someone else. Achia Shilaini later, he, in the presence of Yeravim ben Avot, took a garment and tore it into different pieces to symbolize that the kingdom of Eretz Yisrael will be divided, and the north half will go to Yeravim after Shlomo's death. You see that a garment identifies a nationality where you live. It's brought down that the daughters of Yisrael, it's assumed with some midrashim that they were able to tell he was a Mitzri, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Mitzri because of the language he spoke, but other midrashim say that they mistook Moshe's identity because he was dressed as an Egyptian. And when the Medrash says later, he didn't correct them, and he was really an Ivri. That's why he wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. But it was his clothing that identified him for that nationality. Or Chana, when she showed her love to her child, Shmuel Hanavi, made him a me'ilah, a coat, every year, brought it to Shiloh, out of love. You see also by Adam Arishan, he made clothing for Adam and Chava. Vayas, singular, he made the clothing. And there's different opinions on what it means there. Some simply say that he basically, because of the chait, he temporarily, and for one-time crisis mode, because they needed clothing, he provided them the clothing. Another pshat that many mefarshim say is that he gave Adam and Chava not just the clothing, but the knowledge to provide for themselves clothing and the skill to make them at any time in the future. Roshamshel Rafael Hirsch brings on the perspective of clothing. Basically, clothing covers a body's nakedness to warn a person to rule over their body. And you need that warning now because right now we are burdened by meeting the body's requirements, by working and so on. So clothing is not a punishment. It's just a reminder of who we were once before the Eitz Hadas. And we need to recognize that we need protection. And we need to do what we can to preserve our sanctity by wearing clothing. So it's a gift and it's a reminder. Hashem clothes the naked, visits the sick, comforts mourners, buries the dead, So too we clothe the naked, visit the sick, comfort the mourners, bury the dead. It's the basis of Ahava, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. It's the basis of Gemilas Chasadim. So when we were kicked out of Gan Eden, we became dependent on the assistance of others. Now we have an opportunity to reach a height of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And part of it is Malbish Arumim. Clothing is not a punishment for sin. It just makes us more godlike. It makes us remember who we are. It makes us remember that our bodies are not in our full control and we have to work through it. And clothing is a reminder of that. And it says, and it's brought down here, Jonathan Sacks pointed this out, that when Adam realized what happened after the Chet Tzadas, he came to realize three things. Number one is that he will not live forever. Number two is that because he cannot live forever, he will need to have children to serve as a continuity for him, generations. And third, that he cannot have children on his own. He needs a female helpmate. He needs Chava, and he named her Chava, a person in her own right, who, the way he puts it, is more like God than he could be, because he cannot mimic God like she could to bring life into a new human being. So this Chava, Ein Kol Chai, the mother of all living things, of all human beings, created in the divine image, with a Tzelem Elokim, with the spark of Hashem within, the dignity and the sanctity, that's what Adam saw when he related to Chava as a person. And it's only after he related to Chava as a person he was able to relate to God in the right way. Kosnas Ur, Rav Meir teached it, even though it says in the Torah Ur, which means with an ayin, which means a made out of skin or of leather, Ur with an aleph he had. It's this chalef, it's a light. The garment is garments of light. So what one needs to recognize is now that when we put on garments to cover our bodies and we do it in the right way for the right reasons, not unhealthy shame of a negative thing, of a negative sort, but positive dignity type shame, a positive one, of just recognizing things are meant to be private now and directed healthily, then the clothing becomes a clothing of light. So everyone needs to know this. When they are wearing respectable, nice, clean, even beautiful clothing that are tzniistic, and they're doing it for the right reasons and for the right purpose, as a bas melech, as a bas yisrael, their clothing are, like what Meir says, kosnas or with an aleph. It becomes from kosnas or with an ayin, which is basically the leather or whatever the material is of the garment, into kosnas or. It becomes clothing of light. It becomes clothing that shapes our true identity. It becomes clothing that we use to walk in the ways of Hashem, Bahasnei Leches. You take the examples that the Torah gives of Chesed. The first one in the Torah is the clothing of the naked. The last one is burying Moshe, burying the dead. The first and last stories of the Torah are the framework of our existence, of Chesed. Chesed coming from the form of a Tzelem Elokim. So again, she writes this whole piece in a very poetic fashion. I tried to sort of describe what she's writing over here, but you sense from behind this that clothing is a bracha. It's not a punishment. And clothing is light. It is the conduit to bring the light of the soul outward in the right way. If you look at it this way, and you take dignity in your clothing, when they're the right clothing to wear, and beautiful, healthy, tzniyistika clothing to wear, it's like that special garment. It's a tzavaydas hakodesh. It's part of your avoida. There's a holiness to it. There's a specialness to it. And it shines forth in the best possible way. So this outlook, and what they try to do here as best as they could, is to recognize that this hyper-focus that may have been misused in the past of just defining clothing as what tznius is and nothing else, rather than, even when talking about clothing, understanding that we infuse our goodness and our kedusha into our clothing and it becomes part of who we are and we can be proud of it, is something that's not emphasized enough, and it needs to be. Bracha v'atzlacha.